Good morning, Rock Bible Church. I know there's something I'm supposed to say, but I'm going to say this first. Let there be light. Okay. All right, now, he's risen.
He's risen
indeed. Amen. Amen. I was thinking, it's kind of fun. You know, you say he's risen indeed. You say it every year. You never say that word other than on Easter, right? But you think about it. What does it mean? He is risen in action. And he did the deed of rising. And that's great, because rather than symbolic or figurative or mentally or some, you know, he actually did it. He actually did it. And that's what we're going to celebrate today. We're going to celebrate our risen Lord. And then we're going to have a little bit of fun. I'm going to look at Easter from a little bit different perspective. You know, by now, like it's like, what, 10:20 something? By now, all the Easter morning stories, they're over already, right? Because the ladies have already gone to the tomb, didn't find them, found angels, and they came running out, and they're talking to John and Peter, like, hey, something's wrong. They run down the tomb, they can't find him, and now they're trying to figure out what's going on. So I want to start the story for today and cover the story from right about now, what would be happening back on the actual Easter day. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to have a little fun. We'll be in the book of Luke. We're continuing our series in the book of Luke. We go through passage at a time as we go through the Bible. We've skipped forward. We did Palm Sunday last week out of Luke. We're going to do an Easter out of Luke today, and then we'll go back to our normal pattern and catch up what we have skipped when we do that. Before we do, a couple things. One, men's ministry. Want to remind you that we meet every week, Monday night, 7 o'clock, right out back. There's a fire pit. Bibles. We have a little discussion, some prayer, and then we're pretty much always smoking sausages. So you get a little snack and little spiritual nourishment, little physical nourishment. Would love to have you. If you have questions about that, let me know, because our next meeting is in 8 days. So what's happening tomorrow? Spending time with your family, okay? It's Easter break, spring break, whatever you want to call it. Easter break's the right way to call it. And do what you're going to do, and then we'll reconvene week from tomorrow. End of the month, men, we have a great opportunity for a men's retreat. And we started this one last year, and it's with Mark Campbell from The Peculiar Way. Would love for you to join me on this weekend. It's a Friday night through midday Sunday. Everything's cooked outdoors, and he's got three guys that do the grilling, and we're going to go through several different lessons. And it was a life-changing time. Bring your sons if you want. Several guys did that last year. And several of them are returning even this year. So if you're interested in that, there's the QR code, or you can come talk to me afterwards. Lastly, stick around. The last song is going to end, and you're going to stick around because we're doing baptisms today. So, three wonderful people who've decided to follow the Lord in baptism. So while we're singing the last song, we'll be getting ready, and then the song will end, and we're going to pull back the curtain, and we're going to let some people give their public profession of faith and follow the Lord in baptism. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's pray, and we'll get into our lesson this morning. Lord, thank you for what today represents. And there are so many great stories. We could never cover them all, especially in one morning. But may we be mindful this morning of what it means, and that beyond all of the acts, all of the things you did in deed, that it's about who you are to us. And it brings us hope and grace, freedom and joy. May we understand that more this morning than ever. Be with our time in your word. Guided by your spirit, in the honor of your son, Jesus. It's in his name that we pray. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. We are Luke chapter 24. We're going to start with verse 13. And it's about to say, a couple words that are going to come on the screen here in a second, and it's going to say that same day. Which day is that? Easter. Sunday, right? Easter Sunday. And, you know, Sundays were, they were not special before this Sunday. This Easter Sunday changed Sundays forever, right? Sabbath is actually Saturday, right? For the Jewish culture. And people ask that question all the time. Well, why do we worship on Sunday? It's because of Easter, right? And we give God our first day of the week. And Sunday was just, it was kind of small. On the first day, it says in Genesis 1:1, right? In the beginning, right? And then day one, he started creation. That was a pretty eventful Sunday. And then it was kind of like Sundays were sleepy until Easter shows up. And they thought everything was over. In fact, we're going to see that they thought everything is over from the text of what's happening with these two guys walking on the road to Emmaus. You ready? Here we go. Luke chapter 24, verse 13. That very day, two of them were going to the village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all the things that had happened. What are they saying? It's a little bit of a dark conversation. I thought this was going to happen. How come that happened? Where's Jesus? What about all the things he taught? What about all the miracles? Now he's gone. Verse 15, while they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Jesus snuck up on them. I love this. I hope that Jesus sneaks up on you in your life. Hopefully in different ways. And what I mean by that, in ways that are specific to you, that meet you right where you're at. We're going to see that's what he does with these two guys here, one of them being Simon. We're going to find that out later. But I want us to understand that the joy of Palm Sunday last week is that Jesus shows up on the scene. And there's a phrase that you use for Palm Sunday. It's the coming king, Jesus the king, and he comes, right? Shows up. You know, I put it this way last week, and I repeated it this week and just called it part two. If you look at the top of your outline, it says Luke chapter 24, verse 13 through 35. He visits in person. Now, you could say he comes in person, but like if you just come over and you come over and say, Hey, Doug, did you see Scott? Yeah, he came over. Yeah, but did he visit? Visit gives you a different feeling. We love that he visits rather than just shows up. We love that more than going to the cross and dying for our sins and doing that sacrifice, he actually takes interpersonal, relational time and interacts, actually has conversations. We love that about him. That's what he does on Palm Sunday and brings several things to us, right? We talked about that last week. He's going to return and make a return visit to spend even more time with us. What does that tell us about the nature and character of our God? He's personal. He's relational. There's a simple way to say it. He cares. How about this? I like this one a lot. How about this? He likes you. Never question why you were made or how you were made. Why not? Because he made you exactly the way he wanted to make you. And I love the sarcastic phrase that I've heard several times is, God make mistakes? Does he? That's why it's sarcastic. So if you're short and bald and, you know, questionable health, it's exactly where the Lord wants you. Welcome to the club. He drew near. What a great phrase. What a great verb. He could have kept his distance. He could have ruled from on high or from a distance. He could have done it so many ways. Instead, he shows up in proximity. but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. He likes to play games. He's a little bit of a party guy. Do you think the banquet in heaven's going to be good?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Do you think there'll be some surprises?
Yes.
Stuff we won't see coming?
Yes.
Yeah, and then like, there'll be the reveal. Like, oh, it's even better than I thought. So-and-so's here. I thought they never would have made it. It's going to be great. Well, you know so-and-so? Wow. So God's keeping something from them. Why? Something to learn first. There's a lesson. He said to them, what's this conversation that you're having? What are you guys talking about as you walk? And they stood still looking sad. And one of them named Cleopas answered him, are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who doesn't know the things that have happened in these last days? Have you not been checking your social media? Forgot your password or something? Everybody's talking about this. In fact, that crazy guy, John, out in the wilderness, he made a big show and he said, something's coming. Everybody believed him in the crowds. Everybody knows? In here they just killed somebody? Everybody shows up for a train wreck. Where you been? Well, why is Jesus doing this? I mean, it's almost plain dumb, right? He wants to draw him out. What are you thinking? Surprise him a little bit. He said to them, Jesus, verse 19, what things? He just keeps asking these leading questions. By the way, he may do that to you. Why do you think you're in this situation? What you think you were supposed to have done? What could you do next? What thoughts should you be having? Which thoughts should be purging? Love that God just will keep asking questions until you stumble to the right answers. And they said to him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, the man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And how our chief priests and the rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped he was the one to, what's that word?
Redeem
Israel. That's a key word in this story. We're going to come back to it. Yes, and besides all this, it's now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came and said that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he is risen. All right, there was like 10% of you got it, okay? I like to play games too. I'm following the lead of my Savior. So I'm going to try to trick you from time to time. I slide in there. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and just found it just as the woman had said. But him, Jesus, they did not see. And he said to them, oh, foolish ones, slow of heart to what?
Believe.
Say slow of heart to understand.
No.
Slow of heart to know.
No.
Those are very different statements. Believe was, that word was used on purpose. Because lacking all the information, lacking all of the knowledge, is there a chance that you still have hope? That you're still looking for him? Why are you slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken? Was it not necessary that Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? Verse 27, and continuing, he began with Moses and all the prophets and interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Now, can I be a nerdy pastor for just a second? That H should be capitalized. We're talking about Jesus and he's talking about himself. He said, capitalize it. Okay, if your Bible translation capitalized it, A plus for them. If they failed to capitalize that H, give them some grace. We all make mistakes. So they drew near to the village to which they were going, Emmaus. He acted as if he were going farther, but they urged him strongly, saying, stay with us, for it's toward evening and the day is now far apart. So he went in to stay with them. Now, do they know who he is yet? No. They're about to find out. Here comes the reveal. When he was at the table with them, verse 30, he took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. Ooh. Remember 3 days ago? Monday, Thursday. Lord's Supper service. We were in here, by the way. Those of you that came, it was awesome. There was bread everywhere. Some of it was flying. We had the juice. We had a meal, and we talked through, what does this mean? Part of what it meant is Jesus took the third cup of wine from the Passover Seder and said, this is me. That cup was the cup of redemption. My blood's going to be shed for you that you might be redeemed. And we talked about that a little bit. But the physical act of what they did is they took the bread and they broke it. And then the biggest piece, they call that the aphikum, and they go and they hide it. And then they go look for it later and they bring it back. And that's his bread broken for them. That was a very unique little physical, visual, sensory moment. Taste it. When he does the same thing, I wonder if he broke it kind of the same way. Use the same words, whatever. And all of a sudden, it's like, ooh, I'm having a deja vu moment. That's when they recognize him. Watch what happens. They said to each other, verse 31. Their eyes were open, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, did not our hearts burn within us as he talked to us on the road while he opened us to us the scriptures? And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, the Lord has risen.
Indeed.
That's where we get it. And has appeared to Simon. They told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of their bread. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Amen. Before we get into the outline and the fill-ins, I want you to recognize with me the power of recognition, the power of repetition, the deja vu moments when God continues to do similar things and you recognize, oh, this is his pattern. It's the joy of life, the joy of truth. It's also the sting of sin. And the cost of mistake. And we say, I tried that 21 times in a row and I kept getting the same result. Well, what'd you think? It's the pattern. One of the greatest patterns we want to recognize of our Lord Jesus is that he likes to show up on the scene. And then he likes to have interactive experiences with people. Amen? What do we get from that? Because, last week when we talked about Palm Sunday and Jesus visiting in person, we talked the idea about how he came to teach some things. He spent the whole Passion Week teaching in the temple with his disciples, even in Garden of Gethsemane, throughout the whole time. He even teaches Pilate while he's being, accused. He also talked about the idea that he came to clean house. He turned over the tables in the what they would call the church, the temple, where they were starting to do shady things. He said, no, my house will be a house of prayer. We're going to do God's way here. That's it. And then lastly, he came to bring hope. Hope of what? Hope that the prophets were actually right, that they would be fulfilled, that he actually did that. Then he goes to the cross, and that puts everything in question, right? Your leader's gone. What do you do? Ooh, people panic. Then all of a sudden he shows up on the scene again. It's like, well, why come back? If we've already done the teaching and the cleaning house and the gift of hope, what more could he be bringing? Why did he visit again? So that you could have some things. We're going to give you four of them just today from just this passage, right? What's the first one? So you could recognize him. He keeps showing up on the scene because, man, you run into him on the road and you start talking. The guys didn't even recognize him. But he keeps showing up and keeps doing the same things so that we get pattern recognition. He keeps showing up. He keeps putting people in your life. He keeps maybe putting mistakes in your life. I believe that he causes the good and the bad. We can argue about that another time. But the Lord gives and the Lord takes away, and blessed be the name of the Lord. How could that ever be true? Why would Job ever say something like that? Because in the times that he takes away, he's putting you back on path, back on straight. Get the irrational out of here. Protect from the dark here. I need you to recognize me, because that's just the first step. Yeah, you ever see somebody and you don't know them and you don't recognize them? And how much do you give them? Nothing. I don't know you. You don't know me. You ever see somebody you haven't seen in a long time and you don't recognize them? And then you start talking to them and then you realize, oh, it's them. I haven't seen them in ages. It's the greatest thing. All of a sudden you're telling stories and the whole thing. I was coaching a soccer game. Kid comes from across the field. Coach Berglund, I don't know if you remember me. And I'm like, you're right, I don't remember you. And I was like, he kind of looks familiar. Hey, it's Spencer. What? Oh my gosh, that's right, you were the goalie. I remember your nickname. I remember telling all the guys, can't call him that anymore. We're not using that nickname anymore. Remember that time? All of a sudden, we're connected because we recognize each other, right? Somebody knocks on the door and you say, who's there? And you hear through the voice, you recognize that voice, they're coming in. You don't recognize that voice? Quick, honey, call the police. I have a granddaughter. She's one. On Friday, last Friday. So Good Friday, she was 1 year, 1 week. It was a Good Friday. Well, it's been several months since I've seen her, and we went to see her, and I pulled up, hey, how are you? And she looked at me. What was the problem? No, the problem is I hadn't come around enough. She would recognize me if I had been around enough, right? So I've been planting my ugly mug in front of her face every chance I get in the last 2 weeks. Now she shows up this morning, she's like, big old smile. That is meant to be your relationship with God. If you spend no time with him, you'll have trouble recognizing him in your everyday life. You'll have a hard time in placing him into your thoughts, guiding your heart, choosing your decisions. We have to recognize him, because that's just the very beginning, because it moves forward from there. Amen? Here's number two. So that you can know him. Hey, you know so-and-so? Well, not really. I know of them. I've met them. I know what they look like. But I don't know them like I know Doug. We're kind of acquaintances. How do you know somebody? Spend more time with them? Why does Jesus show up on the scene? So that we'll spend more time with him. He wrote us a love letter. Gave us a communication avenue. Prayer. He made it popular. All these miracles. It made it common. A bunch of people know him. It's the only oldest story ever. So that we'll know him. So that we'll spend more time with him. Because once you recognize somebody, you let them in, and now we spend time together. Right before I came on stage, she gave me a kiss. I'm going back for more. Because I want the kid to know me. God wants to know you. How can you spend more time with him? I would rather you never give us a penny, but spend time with him every day. That's why we're here. Amen. And there's too many people out there where today is just another Sunday. Sad. And awesome. Because you can make a difference. Go smile at somebody. Go love somebody. Go serve, help, whatever. Do something and try to get them to where they recognize Jesus because they see you, and then they have opportunity to know him because they know you. Okay? And then apologize when you make mistakes. Number three, so that you can believe him. Oh, foolish ones. Did you say they were foolish because they didn't know? No. You didn't say they were foolish because they didn't recognize? No. Or because they weren't smart? Because they couldn't understand? No. In fact, God has left massive gaping holes in the logic, in the experience, so that none of us have arrived. And it will require you to believe him and trust him, because he wants to see the relational side rather than just the smart ones go to heaven. Praise the Lord. Because if it was just the smart ones, Doug and I are out. How great is it that anybody can believe? And it takes no capacity. You don't have to have hair. You don't have to be smart. You don't have to be happy all the time. But you do need to trust and make an effort. There's some people in my family that from time to time, they'll say, "Hey, Scott, can you come here for a minute? You got anybody in your family like that?" You know what I found? It goes really, really well when I go there for a minute. Why? Because regardless if I'm having to clean dishes or do this or do that or carry this thing up the stairs or whatever it is, we're interacting. And what would I have been doing? Nothing as important as an opportunity to believe that we're going to have more interactions in the future. The more you believe him, the more you'll experience him. The more experience that you have with him, the better it will go for you. And I'm not saying that you won't still get sick or make mistakes or any of that kind of stuff, but there'll be a calm and a peace. As he says, "My peace I give to you." That's so great. Do you value peace over money?
Yes.
Do you value peace over stimulation?
Yes.
Because most everything out there is stimulation. You have peace and calm. It's like the best thing. We got home. We had been driving. Somebody got to take a nap the whole time someone else was driving. And then they were energized. We got home, and the other one that was already at home was energized, and they're like, "Let's go do energized stuff." And I was like, "Bye." They took the dog,
nice.
The little demon that lives in our house. They all left. It was quiet. Zero stimulation. It was glorious. I had a pastor tell me one time, you know, you don't have to have media on all the time. When is your music off? When's your TV off? How often is your phone off? I was talking with some guys the other day, seriously, about maybe having a new policy where I turn my phone off. Like power it down from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., right? And some people, they start crying like crazy when they hear that. "No, I have my phone." How about if we got to a place where we trusted the Lord and he gave us peace? It was one of the greatest gifts, because it's impossible to overstimulate you now. Whoa. The boys were starting to figure it out. Lastly, why does he show up in person? Why does he visit in church? So that you can be redeemed. That sounds like a really important word, Scott. I wish I knew what it meant. Redeemed means cleaned, made right again, made whole again. How about made calm again, made healthy again, put back together, you know, Humpty Dumpty and all the king's men? I want a full reset. You ever done that? I had trouble with my computer and I had to do a full reset, which means what for most people? I'm gonna lose everything. I thought it was gonna be this huge loss. I realized I lost everything. I just start over. This'll be fun. Do I wanna do different settings now? How about I try some different settings? Yeah, that's your relationship with the Lord. God wants to reset some things so that you realize that certain things you look at are not as valuable as you think. Certain places you go, certain things you put in your body, certain things you say, certain things you believe. You might want to check some of those. I tell you what, it's been really hard for me. I had some non-negotiable rules I said we will never do as a church. I've broken three of them already in 15 years. And realized that I was the one that was broken because the rules were unrealistic. And I couldn't find them in Scripture. But I needed a reset. It helps when we know when we're wrong. It helps when we know where right comes from. And even harder when we submit to that. How about enjoying fewer answers and more questions? This is your Easter Sunday freebie. It's your Easter Sunday extra. And you can write this one down if you want to or you don't need to. But I've been using this phrase for years now. I want to have more questions than answers. When I have more questions than answers, who gets to answer them? God does. Or someone else does. God working through them. But rather than having answers, I could be more pliable. Yeah, Scott, I think it would be a good idea if you were more pliable. You're so rigid. Praise God for his son visiting in person. And may you have more in-person experiences. Amen? Amen. We're going to pray and then we're going to celebrate with three people who have decided to have more in-person experiences with him. Father, we thank you for your son and for how you have chosen to act throughout our experience, from the very beginning, walking in the garden with Adam and Eve, wrestling with Jacob, showing up during wars, showing up when people were alone with the child in the wilderness, don't know what they're going to do, and you came and you brought comfort. Then you showed up as Jesus in person. Give us 33 years of experiences and stories. May we always remember that you are a relational God. You want to communicate. You want to interact. And we are the only ones holding that back. Open us to that more. If you're here this morning and you've never opened yourself to Jesus Christ and accepted his sacrifice on the cross and believed in his resurrection from the dead and trusted that he's ascended to the Father and sitting at the right hand, offering you redemption, salvation, grace, forgiveness, and more than that, offering you life the way it was meant to be. You can accept that today. And you can say a simple prayer, Jesus, I accept you today. Guide me from here forward. If that's you, we would love to help you as a church. It's why we exist. Come talk to us afterwards. Lord, we thank you for the offering that we're about to receive. Pray that guests feel no obligation to give, but recognize what we do. We do as a body of believers, as a family. And then, Lord, what's offered, we pray you use it. To show yourself more to people. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Good morning, Rock Bible Church. Welcome to the baptism tank. We have Stella Ribley here. Come on down. All right, Stella, look out there. There you go. Turn your face down. All right, tell us, Stella, why are you being baptized today?
Because I feel the Holy Spirit, and I believe in God. I believe in Jesus, and I want to follow him.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Do you affirm your faith and salvation in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior?
Yes, I do.
Excellent. All right. Nose, pinch the nose. There you go. Hand right here.
Hand.
Yeah, pinch the nose.
Oh, okay.
Other hand right here.
Oh, okay.
There we go. All right. And now, based on your profession of faith, it is my honor and privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ and risen with Christ. Okay. Actually, Stella, you want to help me with David?
Oh, yes. I think Ray will come in.
Oh, okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, come on in. So we have David Davis and Wei Wang, married couple. They found us on the internet and said, we want to be baptized. So that has started their relationship with us here. But they've had a relationship with the Lord prior to that. Come on over here and stand in the middle, Dave. Go ahead.
Should I go first?
Yeah.
Okay. I need to write down what I'm going to say.
I usually have to, too.
Okay.
Yeah. So, Dave, why is it that you want to be baptized today?
I profess my faith in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, who is the Son of God who died for my sins. I believe in the Holy Trinity, acknowledging God as my Creator, Jesus as my Savior, and the Holy Spirit as my guide.
Excellent. Excellent. And you affirm your faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior?
I do.
Excellent. Then based on that profession of faith, I now baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Wait, you're going to put your hands on here. Hold on, right? Bend your knees. Buried with Christ and risen with Christ. All right, trade places. And this is Wei. Wei, why is it that you want to be baptized today?
I confess that I'm a sinner. I accept God's forgiveness through Christ's salvation on the cross. And I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and will follow him by obeying his teachings and glorifying him.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Okay. Way you affirm your belief in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior.
Yes, I do.
And it's based on that profession of faith. Go ahead. Yeah. That we now baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ and risen with Christ. And now may you have more in-person interactions with God. Amen?
Amen.
Go with him.